viennent d'y faire leur nid. Auprès de ma blonde, qu'il fait bon, fait bon, fait bon.
Auprès de ma blonde, qu'il fait bon dormir.
Spencertown Academy Art Center's Festival of Books is an annual extravaganza of all things literary. It takes place over Labor Day weekend, the 4th through the 7th. The festival features a giant used book sale, 2 days of readings and book signings by nationally known and local authors, as well as a children's program. We're lucky enough to have one of the authors who will be featured on Friday, September 5th at 1:30. Alex Kershaw is the author of the new book, Avenue of Spies, a true story of terror, espionage, and one American family's heroic resistance in Nazi-occupied Paris. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Alex Kershaw to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Great to be here.
As far as your event at the Spencertown Academy and their Festival of Books, you're going to be in conversation with David Gillum, who also has a book out. The topic is Heroes and Spies, Real and Imagined. And this is something that has been of interest to you for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting because I've written a book about, it's a true story about spies in World War II. And my co-author at that event, rather, has written a novel. So we can have a very interesting conversation, hopefully, about the things that he was able to do that I couldn't get to do, and vice versa. I think there's a great joy, if you're a nonfiction writer, in finding information and shaping a narrative that's true, that, and therefore all the more powerful, I think, because it's nonfiction. But all the time, as a nonfiction writer, you're thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a villain that did this? Wouldn't it be great if I had my real hero do this? Twists, turns, all the genre conventions that you have within spy stories, I tried to use those, but it was very difficult to base that in fact at some points, whereas a fiction writer can do that and have enormous fun.
Right.
So we can have hopefully we'll have a really good chat about what he got to do that I couldn't get to do, and vice versa.
Does the truth ever get in the way of a good story?
I think it does all the time, and you know, that's the challenge is to, you know, as the greats have done, Tom Wolfe, other people like that, is to actually use the techniques of fiction writers, but do so as a journalist. So, for example, interior monologue. Tom Wolfe was a famous case in an Esquire article, where somebody wrote a story about someone that was on a plane as it was crashing. And someone said, well, how the hell did you know what he was thinking before the plane crashed? You weren't there. I mean, how did you know that? And the journalist said, well, he survived the crash. And I went and asked him, what were you thinking in the last seconds before the plane crashed? So those sort of techniques, which good journalists use, which good nonfiction writers use all the time, those are the sort of things that I became fascinated by as a journalist myself when I started out in the trade. With this book, I wanted to take all of those techniques and, you know, interior monologue, dialogue, scene setting, tension, complications, all the devices that good writers of both nonfiction and fiction use to make a story truly come alive.
Your books include The Bedford Boys, The Longest Winter, The Liberator. What brought you to this beat?
I was fascinated when I was a kid by World War II. I grew up in England. It was every Sunday you'd watch TV and there'd be only one channel and it would be showing the Battle of Britain or some other cheesy World War II movie. And without going on too long, when I was about 8 or 9, I went to stay with my grandparents. Both my grandfathers were in World War II, and I found this stash of comic books hidden away in a pigsty at the bottom of the garden. And my mum tells the story that, you know, for the next 6 weeks that summer, I could be found walking up and down the street with my head in one of these comic books. And these comic books were all about G.I. Joe and, you know, the SAS in the desert in North Africa and the Battle of Britain. So I became completely captivated when I was really young by these stories of heroism and daring and sacrifice of World War II. And then when I became a journalist, I was, you know, unbelievably in my early 20s, was able to go and actually write about the real people. One of my first jobs in journalism was to write about the occupation of the Channel Islands. The Nazis actually only occupied one part of Britain in World War II. That was in a series of small islands in the middle of the English Channel. Us English, we've always felt that we were somehow superior to the rest of Europe. Some people still feel that way, but we've been lucky that we had 23 miles of the English Channel. That's what saved us in 1940, that we'd never felt the impression, the horror of the Nazi jackboot. And we thought that we wouldn't have collaborated. We wouldn't have done deals with them. We would have fought on the beaches. We would have done what Churchill said. We would have fought to the bitter end. We wouldn't have been like the French. We wouldn't have been like the Dutch. We wouldn't have been like the Italians. Whoever else in Europe had to suffer the horrors of occupation. And in fact, in the Channel Islands, we acted pretty much like the French and the Dutch and everybody else in Europe. So when I was young, I found that, you know, I sitting in someone's kitchen, knowing that the guy I'm talking to, who'd just given me a nice cup of hot English tea, was actually a collaborator, was a real thrill for me. He didn't know that I knew that, but I'd done some research. So I became captivated by the idea that I could go and meet people that were on Omaha Beach, that were at these amazing events in World War II. And I'd been very lucky because I started pretty young, started in my 20s doing that, that I've been able to spend the last over 20 years interviewing people that were in these incredible events in World War II, pivotal moments in World War II.
There seems to be obviously most authors talk about the great want in the next book to do something different and to break new ground. Do you see a commonality, however, in your work?
Yeah, I think I'm drawn to trauma in some ways, I'll be honest with you. I am very moved by stories of great sacrifice and suffering, which were for a good cause. I think that they're very inspiring and they're compelling. I'm not that interested in stories with a too neat and happy an ending. I think the things that has moved me most about my work in World War II is the knowledge that the people that I'm talking to, there are not many left alive today, but they suffered enormously with great dignity to give me the opportunity to grow up. I'm a huge fan of Europe. I lived in Europe until I was 28 before I came to the States. The Europe that I grew up in, they preserved, they liberated, they gave their, you know, thousands and thousands of them gave their lives for. If you go to the graveyard above Omaha Beach in Normandy, as I did last year for the 70th anniversary of D-Day, there's 9,386 young Americans there. A lot of them never got to experience anything in life. I find those stories to be very, very powerful, those stories that have enabled me to enjoy everything that I've been able to enjoy as a European ever since. It's something that I don't want to forget, and I love celebrating.
Alex Kershaw's new book is Avenue of Spies, a true story of terror, espionage, and one American family's heroic resistance in Nazi-occupied Paris. The book comes as we mark the 75th anniversary of the occupation of Paris, and you do bring to light the story of this American family in Paris whose efforts, heroic efforts, help undermine the Nazis and change the course of the war. What ingredients had to be in place for that story to work for you?
Great question. There were many families in France that were heroic and suffered the ultimate price of joining the resistance. But there's only one family that I could come across that was American that lived in the heart of Paris on the Avenue Foch, which became known as the Avenue Boche because there were so many senior SS and Gestapo officials who lived there. So there's only one family, American family, importantly, because my readership is mostly American. I want to involve Americans in European stories. They lived in the most dangerous street in all of Nazi-occupied Europe. At number 72, number 84, number 31, number 55, and so on, were the most sophisticated, evil SS and Gestapo officers in all of occupied Europe. Number 31, they lived at number 11 Avenue Foch. They literally only had to walk out of their front door and take a short stroll, less than a minute, and they would arrive at number 31, which was the headquarters for Theodor Dannecker, who was in charge of deporting and having 80,000 Jews, French Jewish citizens, killed at Auschwitz. So that you couldn't get any closer to evil than where they were at 11, number 11, Avenue Foch, or as the Parisians called it, Avenue Boche. So that proximity was extraordinary. It made for a natural tension. And as the war continues, as they become more and more involved in the resistance, as their actions become more and more dangerous, more and more SS and Gestapo gather on the Avenue Foch because it becomes the center of their campaign, their war to destroy the French resistance. And yet, ironically, right under their noses are an American family who are part of the resistance. That was too good a story for me not to want to tell. It was wonderful.
We talk about the story and go into much more detail in our book show, which will be airing this afternoon at 3 and also on Thursday night at 8:30. I do want to note, however, that in the telling of this story, this cast of characters, you were lucky enough to meet so many of them and actually talk to the participants.
Yeah, I was extremely privileged. Philip Jackson, who was 12 years old, the son, only child of Sumner and Toquette Jackson, he's still alive. He's 89 years old. I spent an awful lot of time with him. He's a wonderful gentleman. Crucially, I was also able to find a gentleman called Francis Deloche de Noyel, a neighbor of the Jacksons, who's 94, who recruited the Jacksons to the resistance. So I actually had the guy sitting in his living room in Paris telling me what he said to Toquette when he asked her to put everything on the line. And also, remarkably, we know that Jackson, Dr. Jackson, helped several Allied airmen escape from France. And I was able to interview one of those airmen, a guy called Joe Manos, who was a B-17 waist gunner, who actually was hidden by Jackson himself at his home, 11 Avenue Foch, in August of 1943. Mm. So that was a great thrill. I mean, I'm a journalist first and foremost, and to actually be able to sit there and talk to these people that were in this at the center of this very dramatic story over 70 years ago was really fun. It was great. It was great fun.
The 10th annual Spencertown Academy Arts Center's Festival of Books takes place September 4th through the 7th, and Alex Kershaw will be taking part in the festival, along with many other wonderful authors, at 1:30 on Saturday, the 5th of September. You can find out about the entire festival and all of the events going on by going to SpencertownAcademy.org, SpencertownAcademy.org. ORG. We'll also mention that Alex Kershaw is going to be at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, on the 12th of September for an event at 6 p.m. And you can find out more information about that event by going to Northshire.com. Northshire.com. And a reminder, Alex will be our guest talking about Avenue of Spies on the book show this afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on WAMC. Also repeated on Thursday at 8:30 or online at WAMC.org. Alex Kershaw, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much and have a great time at the Festival of Books.
Great honor and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Again, Alex Kershaw's new book is Avenue of Spies. It's published by Crown, the 10th Annual Festival of Books at Spencertown Academy. It takes place September 4th through 7th, SpencertownAcademy.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.